भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय न अधया व्याधया क्लेशः दैवभूत आत्मा हेतवः अजातशत्रु अभवन् जन्तूनां राज्ञी करचित् नदयो व्याधयः क्लेशः दैवभूतात्महेतवः अजातशत्राभवन् जन्तूनां राज्ञीर्करचित् नदयो व्याधयः क्लेशः दैवभूतात्महेतवः अजातशत्राभवन् जन्तूनां राज्ञीर्करचित् नदयः व्याधयः क्लेशः दैवभूतात्महेतवः अजातशत्राभवन् जन्तूनां राज्ञीर्करचित् प्लीज चैंट नदयो व्याधयः क्लेशः Jantunam ragi kirchit Nadayo vyandaya kesha Jata shatra vabhavan Jantunam ragi karachit. Ladies, please. Jata Shatra Vabhavan Jantunam Ragi Karachit Chakar Chit. Nah, never. Adaya, anxieties. Vyadaya, diseases. Kleshaha, trouble due to excessive heat and cold. Daivabhuta Atma, all due to the body, supernatural power, and other living beings. Hetavaha, due to the cause of. Ajata Shatro, unto one who has no enemy. Abhavan, happened. Jantunam, of the living beings. Ragni, unto the king. Karachit, at any time. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation, because of the kings having no enemy, the living beings were not at any time disturbed by mental agonies, diseases, or excessive heat or cold. Please repeat. Because of the kings having no enemy, the living beings were not at any time disturbed by mental agonies, diseases, or excessive heat or cold. Purport. To be nonviolent to human beings and to be a killer or enemy of the poor animals is Satan's philosophy. That's interesting. It's almost a paradox on how people normally think. Prabhupada is saying to be nonviolent to human beings is to be Satan's philosophy, whereas generally people think that to be nonviolent is to be the philosophy of peacefulness. Not in this philosophy, not in this Bhagavad Gita, because this was a duty that had to be done in pursuance of or following the direction of Krishna, who wanted violence to get rid of the more violent people. And that's why this statement is made. Violence sometimes has to be dealt with violence, and even better violence, greater violence, and that's actually what happened here. Again, to be nonviolent to human beings and to be a killer or enemy of the poor animals is Satan's philosophy. In this age, there is enmity toward poor animals, and therefore the poor creatures are always anxious. Sorry. The reaction of the poor animals is being forced on human society, and therefore there is always the strain of cold or hot war between men, individually, collectively, or nationally. At the time of Maharaj Yudhisthira, there were no different nations, although there were different subordinate states. The whole world was united, and the supreme head, being a trained king like Yudhisthira, kept all the inhabitants free from anxiety, diseases, and excessive heat and cold. One may wonder, how does he do this? An ordinary person would wonder, how could he keep control over the temperature? How could he keep control over the diseases? How could he keep control of the heat and cold? What was his secret? That everybody in this world would love to know that. But actually, it's an open secret, which is what we'll be doing today in today's class. They were not only economically well-to-do, but also physically fit and undisturbed by supernatural power, by enmity from other living beings, and by disturbance of bodily and mental agonies. There is a proverb in Bengali that a bad king spoils the kingdom, and a bad housewife spoils the family. This truth is applicable here also, Because the king was pious and obedient to the Lord and sages, because he was no one's enemy, and because he was a recognized agent of the Lord and therefore protected by him, all the citizens under the king's protection were, so to speak, directly protected by the Lord and his authorized agents. Unless one is pious and recognized by the Lord, he cannot make others happy who are under his care. There is full cooperation between man and God and man and nature. And this conscious cooperation between man and God and man and nature, as exemplified by King Yudhisthira, can bring about happiness, peace, and prosperity in the world. The attitude of exploiting one another, the custom of this day, of the day, will only bring misery. Omagyana timirandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshu unmalitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. Translation: because of the king's having no enemy, the living beings were not at any time disturbed by mental agonies, diseases, or excessive heat or cold. Amaginam timirandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshu unmuditam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. So before we proceed, I just have a few very brief questions to ask, especially some of our newer devotees. This question should not be answered by anyone who's been here at least 5 years. First of all, who's speaking? Who's saying, because of the king's having no enemy? Raise your hand. Yes. A little louder so everybody can hear. Yes, Sutta Goswami. And why is he answering this question? Who has asked him this information, which he is now giving? Who asked the question? You have to speak loud, Prabhu. No. I've got no guesses. I want a hand raised and a good loud voice, please. Come on, let's have it. I just heard four voices before. Go ahead. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Shonaka Rishi. He's like one of the headmen of this particular sacrifice which is going on. Where is this sacrifice being carried on, and for how long is it supposed to go on? Yes. Yes, exactly. Everybody hear that? It's in the forest of Naimisharanya, and it's to go on for 1,000 years. And does anyone know the purpose of this particular sacrifice? Okay, the purpose of this... Yes, go ahead. Look good and loud. No, you heard. What's in the book? No, not what you believe. What you read in the book. I'm not understanding. In other words, why... you're on the right track, by the way. But let's have it a little bit more pointed, more clear. Go ahead. No? Anyone else? He's in the right track, by the way. Okay, it's being done, this 1,000-year sacrifice, so that the people of the world, especially as Kali Yuga advances, and degradation, and all sorts of horrible activities, sins, wrongs, harm, all that in Kali Yuga, it multiplies and remultiplies. So the purpose of this sacrifice is to palliate, to lessen, to attenuate, or to ideally remove it. So these sacrifices which are done, in which grains are poured into fires, mantras are uttered, various fluids or liquids are poured into fires, and there are various prayers recited. So all this has a very beneficial effect. And this is known as the sacrifice at Naimisharanya. Does anybody know where the what major city is near Naimisharanya? It's very famous, very well known. Not New Delhi. No? Yeah, what was that? Yes, exactly. Lucknow. It's about 40 miles away from Naimisharanya. And there are many beautiful temples there. So we at least have the setting now, because it's very important that when we come to a talk of this sort, that everyone knows where we are in the setting. So now we know that this is the forest of Naimisharanya. A great sacrifice is being held. The great sage Shonaka Rishi, he's asked the question to Suta Goswami, and Suta Goswami is in the process of answering those questions. So, question: who is Suta Goswami? What is his position? How does he have this information? Where did he get it? This is only for the new people. Yes, please, go ahead. Does anybody else read the books besides our great sage here? Devamrata, yes. This wonderful name of originally Bhishma Dev. Yes, Devamrata, go ahead. I don't mean to embarrass you, but everyone else should feel a little embarrassed. Not the old timers. I've prevented, hindered. Go ahead. Yes. Yes. He was in the assembly. The Suta Goswami was in the assembly when this information was being narrated by, again, Shukadeva Goswami. And how old was Shukadeva Goswami? Continue. You don't know? Yeah, say around 16, yes. So it's good to get a picture here. Then it becomes like a movie. And you actually see all these pictures and these great sages sitting there. So Suta Goswami heard this for a period of how many days and nights? I'm sorry. Anybody? Come on. Yes, go ahead. Seven, yes, exactly. So 7 days and nights. I don't even think they were eating during that time. Archer, did you know that? Did they eat? I think they fasted for 7 days and nights. That was my understanding. Which means they were so absorbed, both of them, both Shukadeva Goswami and also Pariksit Maharaj, they were so absorbed that that was their food. And they were just delighting in each statement, each prayer, each glorification of the Lord. And they were actually becoming more and more ecstatic as time went on. Now, this is very important. So now what we have, we know that Shukadeva Goswami originally stated, voiced it, and Suta Goswami, how did Suta Goswami hear it? I mean, after all, if I were to narrate for 7 days and seven nights to anyone here and you haven't eaten a stitch of food, how do you remember all this? I'll even take a guess on this. No? Okay, the way you remember this, is it just happens to be that in those days, there were people who could remember anything they heard if they wanted to hear it. We also saw that even in Lord Chaitanya. Of course, he's God. You might say that he was actually super blessed. But still, he was trying to make a point. And the point was is that when he heard some particular sage utter, I think, 100 verses at the Digvijaya, utter these verses, then he said, well, I don't know if this is the exact one, but you know, the 63rd verse that you uttered went something like this. Not something, went like this. And then he just uttered the verse. Well, the Digvijaya, when he heard that, he said, how did you remember this? He says, well, you know, certain people have certain abilities, and I just happen to have the ability. So it happens to be that long ago and far away, we all had much better working brains. But as time went on, and time and structures of the body slowly but surely begin to deteriorate, Like you have an appendix, it's vestigial, it doesn't really serve any purpose, you can get it out, it doesn't affect your body. So similarly, parts of the body, if they're not used as they were used on a regular basis, then they go into disuse. And when they go into disuse, what happens is you lose the faculty, and it can happen. I know if I don't keep my memory fresh, repeating certain verses, within a year's time, I don't know those verses anymore. I have to go back to them, and rememorizing them is quite easy because all it takes is just two or three times because it's already down there and you're just bringing it up. But still, it's not there. And that's the point. With Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, he could remember anything and everything. So this is important for all of us. And so this knowledge which Suta Goswami heard and remembered and now is re-remembering it and giving it and voicing it to all the sages at Naimisharanya. So now I'll go back to today's translation and the purport. Are there any questions on these points that I just made? Okay? So, now this is about the greatness, the glory, the wonder, the awesomeness of King Yudhishthira. And Srila Prabhupada is truly glorifying him, literally applauding him, and making a comparison to the way he ruled the kingdom. Actually, it's not a kingdom, it's actually countless kingdoms, because King Yudhishthira is more than a king, he's an emperor. Now, who would like to say, tell us, what is the difference between an emperor and a king? Okay, you can raise your hand if you know. Go ahead, please. Loud. That's right, yes. In other words, he's king over all the different sovereign states. Everyone pays tribute or tithe to the emperor. Whereas a king is simply followed, one is a subordinate to that particular individual, but everyone is subordinate to Yudhishthira, who's the emperor of the whole world. And everywhere, one has to really revere him. So, the point here is that, I already made it at the beginning. Srila Prabhupada starts out with a bing, bang, bing. To be nonviolent to human beings and to be a killer or enemy of the poor animals is Satan's philosophy. Yeah. People think that we should all be nonviolent and that's going to bring peace. This was the formula that was given for the independence of India. Well, they got independence, but they didn't get wealthy. They didn't get, you know, rich. Their lives were not so greatly benefited. In fact, many people in India, many, not a few, wished that the British would come back because of their great way that they ruled, organized things, arranged things, and so many people were benefited. Of course, some of the things they did were terrible, and that they wanted to completely eradicate the Vedic religion, which is absurd. So that was the bad thing. But the good thing is that they could teach many of the people of India how to do things in a very efficiently, a very economical way, and so forth. But of course, it would be to the disadvantage of those persons in India, because much of the profits were just taken by the British, and the persons of India, they just eked a little nothing. So that's one of the big reasons that they had to get them out, because of the fact that their natural resources were being raided and that they were being exploited. And therefore, the result would be is that instead of the people of India all equally being benefited, this was not. So here we have King Yudhishthira. King Yudhishthira, in order to accomplish this, you know, without excessive rainfall, no tornadoes, no hurricanes, no fires, things growing in season, this is the result of a particular kind of character. It's not that you just grow up and that's what happens. You know, happens by itself. It happens because King, first of all, Yudhishthira, had all good qualities, many good qualities. And for this reason, Krishna wanted him to be the king. He wanted Duryodhana and company and all the criminals that went with him, his 100 brothers, out, because they were bad examples to the public. Whatever a great man does, common men follow. Whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So, if the king is a cheater, if he's a liar, if he's a thief, if he's a killer, as the Duryodhana attempted to murder the 5 Pandavas and their mother in this beautiful mansion. I can't remember where it was, but they went there for vacation, supposedly. But it never succeeded because Krishna didn't want it to succeed. And Krishna used Vidura, who had certain mystical powers. He could read people. He didn't show them off, but he could look at a person's face and he could know exactly what was in their mind. And this is actually what he did. He knew when the night that the attack was to take place, and he got a message to the Pandavas, letting them know that you have to take care of, I think his name was Puranjana, who was supposed to light the fire and who was a servant living with them. So he said, you have to leave very quickly and burn the house down and let them think that you are dead. So anyway, that's what happened. And Vidura was a very, very helpful and useful in this particular situation. Also, before the Pandavas left on this vacation, it was Vidura himself said, watch out, there's going to be a fire. He told them in cryptic language, in an aborigine type language, which very few people knew. And but Yudhishthira had a knowledge of this language, and he told them, watch out, be careful. And by that he meant, in due course of time, I'll make sure that you do know when it's to happen, and you will do the needful so that you will not be afflicted or harmed. So Yudhishthira has many good qualities, and it is these good qualities that bring forth such an excellent environment where you have balmy breezes, you have beautiful clear skies, sunshine, you don't have excessive heat, no excessive cold, no hurricanes like we had Hurricane Maria last year. The people there, they were out of electricity for about 6 months. And even then, it was coming back very slowly. Can you imagine that? Think about it. We lose our electricity for 6 months here. It can happen. Don't think, this is L.A., you know, we've got all the resources. Not if Krishna wants to do it. There is nothing that he can be stopped. But we can always not only pacify him, but we can please him, we can satisfy him, we can act in ways which go in complete harmony with his particular will. And if we do that and he's pleased, well, then he's going to do what he has done for King Yudhishthira here, so that the people would be happy. Instead of people, Yudhishthira set the perfect example. He was perfectly, he had so many good qualities, although he was a Kshatriya. He had many Brahminical qualities. Some of those qualities, I'll try to remember them. One of them was that he was very peaceful, calm. He was self-controlled. He was austere. In other words, he could go without eating for a day if it was necessary. He wasn't afraid of work or difficulties or tribulations and trials. So austerity. He was pure in heart, pure in body, pure in mind, pure in intelligence. He was truthful. It was said that he was never even told a lie. He was honest. Honest means he would not cheat you. There are 4 defects of conditioned souls that they make mistakes. They're in illusion. They have imperfect senses, and they have a tendency to what? To cheat. So that's natural. People cheat on their income tax. People cheat when you go to buy something for them. They tell you the price is so-and-so. And then you find out the next day that it was actually a lower price. But he saw that you were a soft mark, an easy mark, instead of charging you. I saw that this. I just got it from a particular computer company. It's $159 to renew your subscription. This is subscribe for three computers. $150, that's not bad. But then just about 3 weeks ago, I got a notice from them. They come and interrupt while you're reading something else. It's so wonderful, so gracious of them, so kind, really generous. So that you read it, and then now it was $159. Now it's $135. And then it went down to $118. And it went down just yesterday to $55. Same company. I said, who do they think they're playing with, Mickey Mouse? I mean, come on. Give me a little more credit for a little more intelligence. I mean, I could now call up and get the Better Business Bureau and show them all their notices and say, these are a bunch of cheaters. So I can't waste my time on that right now. I only got 5 minutes to live, and I want those to for self-realization. So the important, if it can even happen, but at least it can make the effort. So the important thing is that Yudhishthira, he had so many of these nicer qualities. So I just said purity, honesty, tolerance, wisdom, and was there another quality, the one that I missed? Wisdom? Anyway, it's pretty close to all of them, if not all. So the important point is those qualities manifested from him. They are expressed through him. And as a result of this expression through him, the result is that people were benefited, people were helped, people became blessed under his regime. Why were they blessed? Because he was peaceful and he sent out peacefulness to so many people. He was honest. They emulated. They became honest. So all these qualities that I said were set forth, were manifested, and transmitted throughout the kingdom. And being transmitted everywhere, all over, you had harmony. You had friendliness. You had goodness. You had warmth. You had persons doing things in such a way that everyone felt as a part of one big family. Although it was literally thousands and thousands of miles of individuals and people, but they all felt like one. They all had the same philosophy. And Yudhishthira made certain that the Vedic philosophy was practiced in a way where everyone could be benefited and everyone would cooperate. And we saw a very good example of his grandson, Pariksit, who, when he found one person who was a low-class person beating a cow, he immediately stopped him, and he was going to took out his club, and he was going to get rid of him, beat him. But the person was scared, and he was good at beating up cows, but he wasn't good at beating up great warriors. So he said, no, please, spare my life. So King Pariksit said, I will spare your life only on certain conditions. And those conditions are, you cannot live in my kingdom. You have to live someplace else where there is no illicit sex going on, there is no meat eating going on, no gambling going on, no intoxication going on, and ideally no gold there. Because if there's gold, you're going to find all those other things, generally. Because people love gold, because it doesn't tarnish. Therefore, he left him, he let him go. So Yudhishthira ran a very tight ship. He made sure that good qualities were developed. He taught how to surrender. He was perfectly surrendered to Krishna. What does surrender mean? Accept whatever is favorable for discharging devotional service. This is a nectar of devotion. Reject whatever is unfavorable for discharging devotional service. always feel dependent upon the mercy of the Lord rather than your own intelligence and leave it at that. This is what was due to the fall of many devotees in our, not only this community, but throughout the world. They felt that, well, you know, all I have to do is just use my intelligence and come up with solutions, come up with ideas, and that will help to keep the movement going. It doesn't matter. If Prabhupada said this, we can do something different, because after all, I mean, he was an old man, and there was so much he didn't know. You know, this kind of talk was so blasphemous and so wrong and so unfortunate that these persons all went down. They fell down terribly. So, but those devotees who simply stuck to Srila Prabhupada's books and rejected persons of that nature, as it's said, one accepts whatever is favorable for discharging devotional service. One rejects whatever is unfavorable for discharging devotional service. One feels dependent upon the mercy of the Lord. is modest and humble, and in addition to that, one believes firmly that the Lord will always protect. Really, the Lord will protect his devotee. So he feels that the Lord will protect the devotee. So when a person practices these principles of surrender, the net result is that he gets the grace of God. And when you get the grace of God, you feel inwardly happy, inwardly strong, inwardly confident, inwardly uplifted, inwardly eager to assist and help others who may be less fortunate. So it is a win-win situation in which the devotee actually feels gradually the ever-increasing closeness of the Supreme Lord. And that closeness, that nearness, that oneness in love, is something that all of us should be striving for no other reason than when we have the nearness, the closeness, the dearness, the grace, the mercy, the kindness, the sweetness of the Lord on us, then all things that we do are blessed. And when they are blessed, then there is ever-increasing happiness, and we do ultimately, finally, and truly experience the real purpose of life, which is to experience the blissfulness, the happiness that comes from loving, dedicated, surrendered service to the Supreme Lord. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions that any of us would like to raise? Any questions? Yes, Prabhu. If you could come a little closer or you get the microphone, that would be very good. Thank you. Here it comes. And give him.
Maharaj, you know, in the purport it says that Yudhishthira Maharaj had no enemies.
Had no enemies.
Yes, and I'm just trying to understand, because human nature does not like to be subordinate. So when he became the emperor, obviously everyone was subordinate to him. But human nature is rebellious. That's why, even though we are Jiva Swarupa, Krishna Nitya Das, we are rebellious. That's why we are in this material world. We are not even ready to serve the Lord, although we know that that is our constitutional position. So it is inherent in us that when we are told to be subordinate to someone, that doesn't come out easily. It is difficult. So I'm just trying to understand from the perspective of human nature in Kali Yuga especially, how is it that someone was subordinate and yet Maharaj Yudhishthira had no enemies? And he was in administration. And in administration, enemies to becomes much easier. Because when you're doing administration, you can't please everyone. Even if you're speaking from the Vedic, even Lord Krishna, when he was on the material world, he had enemies. And that is the Lord himself. So how is it that Yudhishthira Maharaj had no enemies?
There's talking going on over here. This has to stop, okay? No talking. Take it outside. He's speaking. Let's show respect to a person who's giving speaking, okay? We don't babble while someone is asking a question. Please, I beg for your forgiveness if I sound a little cruel and a little harsh, but that's the way things are done in circles in which there's some understanding of, or reasonable understanding of, the respect of others' rights. Go ahead, Prabhu.
So I was just looking from that perspective, Maharaj, that how is it that the purport states that he had no enemies?
Yeah, you already said all that. Now, if you have anything new to say,
no,
then
just that. I just wanted to ask that question.
Well, first of all, I'll just give you a very simple example. He had no enemies. First of all, he had all good qualities. When you have good qualities, somebody, for example, speaks to you in a very angry, I'm just going to give an example, speaks to you in a very angry, hostile, harsh way, but you respond in a very peaceful, very kind, and very loving way, as if, for example, a person says, you know, you're a real fool. And instead of answering, who are you calling a fool, you say, how'd you find out? How'd you know? Therefore, the person is put off guard because the answer that you're giving is not a contentious, not an angry report. So Yudhishthira, first of all, was all set up within himself as far as how to deal with different circumstances. And he could, instead of evoking hostility and animosity and hatred, he could evoke peacefulness and kindness and sweetness and even laughter. That is the, look at Srila Prabhupada. You see, Prabhupada could, even though he spoke to us often in an angry way, but we still loved him for it. We didn't become his enemy. If anything, we became a better friend because he taught us something wonderful. That's number one on the spiritual side. And on the physical side, just imagine you're a king and you want to challenge this particular other king there who is telling me or telling you that he's superior to you, that you have to obey him, you have to do what he wants, you have to do these things. What you mentioned is true. The feeling that you have is, well, I'm going to fight with him and let him know that that's not going to happen. I'm going to be the leader. I'm going to be the supervisor. But if you've got five incredibly powerful, amazing brothers who are indefeatable, you're not going to say that. You're not going to get frisky. You're not going to challenge anyone unless you know at least you have a fair or half chance of being at least winning the battle. So the five Pandavas are super powerful. Plus, they've got great allies if they need help. So you just don't get into a fight if you find spiritual qualities of a high degree and material or martial qualities of a very high degree. Who wanted to fight with Bhishma Dev? He defeated everybody. After a while, he's a person you wanted to avoid. So that's the answer to that. And I think we've gone over time now. And I want to thank you all for attending today, this morning. And I appreciate your good wishes. And I hope that everyone's Krishna consciousness will continue growing and expanding and spreading all over the world. Thank you very much.